You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business marketing automation. In this episode, I want to discuss behavioral-based marketing and how to use it for your competitive advantage. And if you haven't been told, broad-based or broad marketing is an ineffective thing of the past. Real results are achieved through targeted messaging by way of tracking behavior. That's what this episode is all about. Before we get into it, make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast. Subscribe and share the All Systems Go podcast. We are available in all main podcasting outlets, which means wherever you listen to your podcast, you should be able to access it. Most notably, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and we are on YouTube. If you have not already, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It will be greatly appreciated. Shane from Reminisce Images just left a review and 5-star rating that says, "You need to listen. You need to listen to this." Okay. Chris not only gives us for free in bold a real world actionable advice based on his experience, but does it in a way that's easily understood, no jargon, no hype, just tells it as it is. Shane, thank you so much for that 5-star rating and review. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, do me a favor, listen to this episode in its entirety and then leave your 5-star rating and review. Thank you in advance. So let's get started. What is behavioral-based marketing? As I was looking up, I had no problem coming up with my own definition, by the way, but I liked Campaign Monitor's definition the best. And they defined it as behavior-based marketing is marketing that's based on the actual behavior of your audience. You can use website activity, purchase activity, and activities from third-party applications to tap into how your customers are engaging with your brand. So that's Campaign Monitor's definition. And that led me to think, if I were to summarize that or relate it to systems. So thinking in systems, it's as simple as an input and output, right? We all know that I teach turning your business into an operating system. So every given input should have a predictable output. So if the input is behavior, then the output is an experience. So for every action, we should be able to craft a reaction that enhances their experience. And I call this experience enhancement. Okay, so new term alert. But this enhancement is something that I'll provide examples of at the end of this podcast. But just remember, the purpose of collecting information around their behavior is to enhance their experience. It's not just to have it, not just to own it, not just to hold it. That's why I tell you all the time, don't ask for information you're not going to use. You know, don't be an information hoarder, but you'll want to use this information intelligently, specifically based on their behavior, to be able to enhance their experience. So this brings me to a question, and I want to ask this question and invite you to pause this podcast if you need to, and really think about this. I want you to think about this because this may unlock the next level for you in your marketing. Okay. But if there was no limit on the information that you could capture right now, okay, remove technical limitations and even understanding how to collect information. If you could collect all the information, let's just say you've already identified all the critical information you need. If you could collect it all, how would that change how you market right now? Right? How would it change your messaging? How would it change your follow-up strategy? How would it change the products you offer and when? If you had that information. Now, if you're confused and you're thinking like, I don't know, Well, you definitely need to keep listening, because this is the key. This is the cornerstone of marketing automation, is information. Okay. There is no automation without information. So you have to know how to leverage this information. In fact, I need you all to start understanding how valuable the information you're collecting is. It seems like everybody else knows, right? Facebook, these social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. They want you to keep publishing content on their platform for a reason. Facebook makes so much money with advertising because it's collected so much information. So people will spend so much money because they can reach so many people when they get targeted based on the information that Facebook captures. It's always been about information. I need you to value that. So when you're observing people's behavior, it's valuable information. And that's really a key. I really need you to understand, because a lot of you are assessing tools. You're not thinking about behavior-based marketing, because that's what unlocks the true power of marketing automation, especially as Campaign Monitor states, when the data is passed from third parties. This is why it's critical. It's really non-negotiable, especially for those of you who are upcoming automation service providers and companies, including yours, rely on your expertise and your ability to deploy automation efficiently and intelligently. That you are required to own as much web estate as possible so that you can monitor the behaviors taking place to better inform your marketing. Stop using borrowed assets. Automation service providers, listen to me. You have to own as much web estate as possible. Okay. And why should you care? Because when you own as much web estate, more web estate, you can easily track and send that information to your CRM. Okay. And what kind of information are we interested in? Here's some examples. Okay. Such tracking or such behavioral monitoring will help you determine interest, right? Filling out forms are great, but people often lie, especially if they think that answering a certain way is going to have you look at them favorably. They will lie, or they'll just omit important information, which is the same as a lie, right? What sites they visit, blogs they read, pages they frequent will tell the real story. Okay. So when they lie on a form, they can't lie based on the behavior that you observe, right? Determine pace is the second example, is determining the pace. How fast someone is consuming content is a great indicator of interest. Okay. I used to teach this in the workshops, when I was traveling throughout the country, and I would tell people about, an automation that I set up. I modeled it after Netflix. It's a binge automation, and it essentially lets you set your own pace. So if you want to consume all four pieces of content within a day, you can. If you want to consume it within 10 days, you can. So what I have is, I have it set up to where the next piece of content goes out immediately after you've consumed the previous piece of content. Right. So you could set your own pace. It's beautiful. But in addition, what I do is I'm also adding points every time you consume content, and these points expire after a day. So if you have in this example, let's say 10 points, if you have 40 points, then I know that you've consumed all four pieces of content within one day. Right. Because the points expire after a day. So I'm using scoring as well. But what am I doing that? That's the indicator of interest. So now that I know that you've sped through, your pace is fast. That's the whole point I'm bringing this up, is your pace is fast. And fast pace is an indicator that you're interested in something, right? Like you're an action taker. So that allows me to be in a position to enhance your experience, right? And again, I'm allowing you to do that because your behavior said I consumed one. So here, let me give you another one. Oh, I consumed two. Here, let me give you number three. Right. So that experience is very much enhanced. And I've seen great results from that. You know, I'm still testing like what the next step is for people who binge and people who don't. But I have the information and I have the indicator. OK, so the first was determining interest. The second was determining pace. And last is predicting intent. You could say predicting intent is a result of the prior two. But you equipped with two plus third party data, equipped with the prior two plus third party data, you can effectively create a predictive model in your business for future performance and revenue. So if you think this is what I mean. If you think about if you think of lead behavior by source to conversion to customer. Right. So, you know, using third party, perhaps you're looking at people who come from social media, people who come from referrals, organic traffic, partnerships, guest appearances, and you're able to see that they perform or behave differently. So now, based on the source, you can start to predict not just their intent, but the potential revenue. Right. So this is a next level. We're not talking about behavioral based marketing just so you can say, oh, I saw you visited a webpage three times. You know, we're talking about using it strategically in a way to grow your bottom line, truly increase more revenue. OK, so this was very much educational and kind of more like an oversight. So what I want to do is spend the rest of the time on this podcast and give you keys on how to set this up. All right. I want you to be able to walk away today. I'm just in that mood. I want you to be able to walk away. And if you have to pause and do and then rewind and do, this is going to be one of those type of podcasts. So you get that bonus for listening this long. So let's talk about it. Setting it up. First things first is use a CRM. OK, in the past, I have asked the question, do you need a CRM now? The follow up is, do you want to participate in behavioral based marketing to increase your revenue in an automated fashion? If the answer to that is yes, you need a CRM. Simple. OK, simple, because that data needs to be stored in one central location for a full view of your contact's journey, their actions, their behaviors. Right. OK, that's the first key. Use a CRM. Second is be proactive, not reactive. And simply put, this means plan ahead. OK, you should be able to. It's your business. OK, and this may not apply if you're just getting started, but you can do the same exercise aspirationally. OK, but you need to plan ahead. And that means listing all the behaviors that are important for you to be able to track and monitor. OK. In the case that you don't do this step and it forces you to be reactive, you're at the mercy of the options that the tool provides. And all tools are not created equal, nor do all tools agree on what type of information to capture and how to make that information available to you. I can't tell you how many times I didn't plan ahead and I was like, oh, man, this would have been valuable information. Everybody that's done this. Can we find that in our CRM? And the answer is like, no, it's got to be proactive. It can't be retroactive. They don't log that data. Right. Which leads me into keys to setting it up. Number three is understand your software's capabilities. OK, know what can be captured natively and without integration. OK, so when you're assessing marketing automation platforms and CRMs, you need to understand, what don't I need a third party tool to capture? You want as much built-in ability to capture information as possible. OK, understand, understand how it collects and stores data so you can plan accordingly. So for instance, MailChimp tracks the amount of email sent to a person. ActiveCampaign doesn't. So if that's something that is important for you as a behavior, you're going to have to plan ahead for every time you send an email to some way count that, right? If you use an ActiveCampaign, ActiveCampaign stores if somebody has received a particular email. Infusionsoft doesn't. Okay, so in Infusionsoft, you may have to tag somebody in a campaign before you send that email to be able to have the data that email was sent. Right. And when I say stores, I'm not talking about individual. Like I can go to the individual contact record and see. I'm talking about across the entire database. OK, I should have stated that when I'm talking about behavior based marketing and how to collect this information, I'm talking about it across your entire database. There's a lot of information you can go to one person and see. But if you have to go to one person to see that information and your list is growing beyond thousands, that's impossible. Right. So I'm talking about aggregated data. All right. So you'll want to know how your CRM, your software's capabilities and how they store information, especially when you're looking for a new solution, whether you're getting started or migrating. You'll want to be very clear on this. OK, so that was the third on your understand your software's capabilities. Fourth is own your web estate. I said this earlier, but it's worth repeating. Most third-party platforms will require some script to run on it in order to track behavior and send that information back. If you're using a tool that does not give you the ability to add the script, you can't accurately track behavior. So I think of platforms like Teachable, Kajabi, Squarespace, Weebly, all struggle a bit or may not be as straightforward in doing it. I remember when I was placing ActiveCampaign's web tracking on Teachable, I had to learn like Liquid CSS and understand their templating system. And then when I did it, the type of information that is sent over, like Teachable's URLs are just really ugly and nasty. At the end of the day, I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to attempt to use it. You know, Squarespace and Weebly. I don't know those platforms enough to know if you can put web tracking or anything else. I just know the people who use them often struggle with implementing marketing on those platforms. OK, which hence was one of the reasons why I created the episode on the marketing layer. So that regardless of your website structure, you could have a layer of marketing that runs and works regardless. Okay. So those are four keys to set it up. And then I want to give you some examples of an output, right? This is the input, right? We're collecting data and all of this. The output is the experience. I want to give you some examples of experience enhancements. So let me just recap those. Use a CRM. Be proactive by planning ahead. Understand your software's capabilities and own your own web estate. I am a huge proponent of that. Okay. So if you need to learn how to do all of that, this is the fabric of an automation service provider. Okay. And this is why that is my call out. That's my beacon in the sky. These are all of the things that I teach you how to do efficiently. Right. And effectively. So let's go into examples of how this experience could look. All right. So one is changing the content on your website based on the data you collected or source. Right. We're talking about experience enhancement by way of behavioral based marketing. So now that I know you've done a particular thing or you're coming from a particular source, I can change the messaging on my website. Okay. So now instead of creating five pages, maybe I have one page with five different messages. And there's tools that do this. Right message is one that comes to mind. It's one that I've mentioned many, many times. But there's also ways to do it natively. And if you're using WordPress, I'm familiar with at least Beaver Builder and Elementor as a means of displaying dynamic messaging based on a URL structure. So perhaps if everybody's coming from Facebook and in the URL, it's like yourwebsite.com/article. And then it has source equals Facebook in the URL. It can display a different message on the page based on that. And that's native to those page builders on WordPress. And another benefit for owning your own web estate. OK, so that's one way you can enhance the experience. And by the way, it works practically immediately. Because let me take a quick tangent and tell you all, let me remind you, conversions are conversations. Okay. And as long as your conversation is consistent, your conversions will go up. And what do I mean consistent? If somebody's on Facebook and sees a message and maybe it's an ad and they click that button and it takes them to a page, you started a conversation on Facebook. Are you continuing it on the landing page that they come to? And a lot of times, if you just refer to the action that they took, it allows them, it removes any questions about, am I on the right page, or, you know, any confusion. Okay. So with that being said, when we're talking about changing content on your website, I just mentioned an ad and a landing page. The landing page was next. Having in the past, I've had the easiest way for me, I was using lead pages, was to just duplicate landing pages and have various landing pages for various sources. So the structure was the same. If I'm driving from Facebook to a landing page, or if I'm driving from Twitter to a landing page, but Facebook and Twitter both had their own landing page. And the reason being is because, one, it was easier to control the messaging. Two, a lot of times how it integrated with the CRM, it was just easier to create an entirely different form, you know, for source attribution and tracking. But now you do have platforms like Instapage is a landing page platform that is dedicated. They made a market shift, and they're dedicated to marketing teams that's running advertising. So they have dynamic text placement in their landing pages specifically for that reason of matching whatever source they're coming with the destination being a landing page. Okay. Email, content in email. Practically all email platforms can do this fairly easy, although Entreport is lacking this feature. And Infusionsoft's liquid update to conditional content is very technical and not user friendly at all. Plus, I'm not even sure they've officially released it to the public yet, but email marketing platforms are able to do this, right, easily, as well as, you know, some marketing automation platforms. I know ActiveCampaign can do it, right? But it's, how do I change the email? How do I change the content in the email based on what somebody has done? And real quick, you have to be very careful with using conditional content. Perhaps this is an entirely different episode in itself, but you have to be clear that one email is going to have all of the reporting. It's not like you're going to be able to say, hey, how did the email with this message work? How did the email with that message work? All of that data is summed up into one email. So if you want to know how particular content performs to a specific audience, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that if you're using conditional content in an email. So there are ways that I use conditional content and ways that I don't. Again, perhaps that's an entirely different episode because I don't want to get off on a tangent. But I am very strategic with how I use conditional content. There's some ways that are like they always work like 100% of the time. All right. But it's an example. OK, another example is branching via automated workflows. Right. So perhaps in leveraging the example of above, instead of having conditional content in one email, I branch it out and send two different versions of the same email. Now I can see how the email is performing per each audience. Right. So ActiveCampaign comes out as the strongest in both functionality and visibility for me. But ConvertKit, Drip, Autopilot HQ, HubSpot, ish, you know, they do have some visual representation of that. But yeah, the easiest one for me and the most clear is ActiveCampaign. So, how do you branch automations, if else, right? Based on information that you've captured. All right. Next is conditional destinations. I'm thinking form submissions here, everybody. If you use Gravity Forms, Typeform, JotForm, platforms like that can send you to a different thank you page after someone has filled out the form. Let me say it like this. They can send you to a thank you page with respect to the information that you submitted on the form. There we go. That's what I wanted to say. So, for instance, if in my business, it's important to know if you're just getting started or if you're experienced. And I ask for your name, email, and then it's just a radio button. Are you just getting started? Are you experienced? If you say you're just getting started and you hit submit, it'll take you to a just getting started thank you page. Right. But if you say you're in business and hit submit, it'll take you to a different page. Now, if we blend that with the first enhancement that I mentioned about changing content on a single page, perhaps you can send them to the same page. And based on the option that they selected on the form previously, it changes the content on that page. All right, that was extra credit, everybody. But let me go back to the basics. It's just a form. And when they submit information, it routes them to a thank you page respective to the information that they've put in. So Gravity Forms, Typeform, JotForm, those are some that just come off the top of the mind. Interesting enough, Entreport is the leading marketing automation platform for this feature. And it's a area where it finally beats out ActiveCampaign and Infusionsoft because they can't do this. But Entreport will allow you to if you create the form in Entreport, based on your information that they've submitted, you can send them to a conditional thank you page. It's really nice. I get on Entreport a lot. You all know that. You've listened to this podcast. I get on Entreport a lot, but I have to give them credit where credit is due. They do this really well. Okay. Ninja Forms is another one that comes to mind. I'm just thinking of them now that I'm talking, but there's probably a lot more out there. You know, WP Forms, it's a lot. But think about sending somebody to a different destination after they've completed a form. There's a platform out there that I use. I love. I'm falling in deeper and deeper love with ConvertFlow. The more that I use it, and you can even display different call to actions based on what stage they are in your funnel. Right. So your website will just dynamically change the call to action once they've completed a previous one. Now, in order to leverage and take advantage of something like this, you have to have your stuff planned and mapped out. This is one of the things, actually, this is one of the things that I teach in my mentorship curriculum for automation service providers, is how to map your market in stages, steps, and actions. And the key is you need to know where somebody is every step of the way, right? There should never be somebody in your database and you don't know where they're at. You don't know what the next step should be, and you don't know how they got there. That means you have not created a predictable path. Okay. So I'm on a tangent. Let me get back. So the importance is, if you know where people are at any time, you're equipped to build an experience that routes them to the appropriate next step. And I treat this journey and experience enhancement as forward progress only. It's just like football. You should never go back, never lose yards. If you've taken a step forward, I don't want to give you a lead magnet that will take you backwards. And many people build out their marketing, cannibalized marketing, where there's so much going on the website. The person can be close to a sale and then go on the website and opt in and take them further away. And since they don't have it mapped out clearly in stages, steps, and actions, they don't even realize it. All they know is they're not making money. It's not working. And who are they calling, everybody? My longtime listeners know who they're calling. They're calling the automation ambulance. And we all know what happens when the automation ambulance shows up. If you don't, go listen to the previous episode. All right. So people's behavior is a perfect indicator to build your marketing around. In fact, it's the only indicator. Okay. You start with an educated guess or assumption. And as data rolls in, you get more educated. And the more educated you are, the more dynamic the journey begins. The more dynamic the journey, the more money you can anticipate. Okay. And that, my friends, is the power of behavioral-based marketing. So who needed to hear it? Who needed to hear this one? I know I'm almost 100% confident you're going to have to go back through this. I dropped some gems on you. I did. In basketball, we say drop dimes. So I dropped some dimes on you. So go back and pick them up. Don't leave them on the ground, because there's some juice in here for you. Something that can really enhance your marketing right now. So who needs to hear that? Okay. Who's the person whose marketing is kind of all over the place? They've got multiple lead magnets. They've got all of these webinars. Nothing's really timed and synced accordingly. They've done the activity and action of marketing. So you can see it, but it's not really working. Or who's the person that you know is responsible for setting up this type of marketing? They're not asking the right questions. They don't know how to map out their marketing in stages, steps, and actions to where they can easily see within seconds where somebody is, what they should do, and what CTA to put in front of them, call to action. Who's that person? Who's that CEO that's struggling trying to do it themselves? And you know they don't need to do it themselves. They need They need an automation service provider. So if whoever that person is, I just need one. Whatever that name is, share this with them. Share this episode with them. And if you have not subscribed and left a 5-star rating review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it now, please do so. Please do so now. Now is the time. Okay. All episodes and show notes will be available at automationbridge.com/podcast. And if you're looking if you're somebody who wants to take advantage of this great opportunity in marketing automation right now, build a business around implementing automated systems for businesses, get paid to do this, make a living leveraging your technical and marketing acumen, I'd invite you to set up some time for my team to look over your business model, your structure, your goals, and talk about joining one of my programs to become an automation service provider. You can do that at automationbridge.com/ASP. ASP for automation service provider. Enter some quick preliminary information, and myself or someone from my team will reach out to you and discuss next steps. And if it makes sense to send you an invitation to become an automation service provider, which is greatly needed in the space today. Okay. So, with all of that said and done, thank you again for listening to this podcast. I'll see you on the next episode. Until then, automate responsibly, my friends.